Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for listening to Lifestyle for a Lifetime. We are continuing our series on prayer. And you can also go to our website at lifeenrichmentinc.com if you have missed any of the series. This is our 30th recording dealing with signs, wonders, and miracles. And, of course, we have been doing this year-long series on prayer. So thanks for tuning in and joining us. I want to talk today about how to set your church on fire. Now, we need to have a little fire in the body of Christ. We need to make sure that we're not just a dead church, but our souls are on fire and that we are crying out to God and letting the Holy Spirit have the right of way within the body. There's a story I like to tell about a Presbyterian church, and it was in Indonesia. And a wind began to blow through the church, and a fireball in the town bell in town began to ring. So it was ding, 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 because of this wind that was coming through. And the people, they ran to the church to put out the fire and found there a fire that could not be quenched. So as the wind began to blow through the church, and the fireball in the town, they were trying to get everybody to be alerted and to come and to help put the fire out. But it just didn't work because the wind was blowing. So when I think of the fire, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, I think about the wind of the Holy Spirit and how it all works together. But the people, they came, but it couldn't be quenched. Now, this was a supernatural fire. This was a fire that was natural, but because the wind, it made it so supernatural, and it was almost like an inferno that no one could put it out. So it began the great Indonesian revival, which is a modern-day Pentecost that has been described. And if you've read the book, Like a Mighty Wind. So I believe that God is wanting in this season and this time for us to have that supernatural fire, not just in the natural, but to put some super on our natural in the spiritual realm within the body of Christ so that we can walk in the divine blessings and see what God has. And that's the kind of fire I believe that the church has been looking for. They've been looking for that supernatural fire, not that mundane service, church as usual, the three songs or the 30-minute praise, the message. People are wanting to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. And we know that throughout history, everyone that God has used in a mighty way, even to bring about a supernatural revival, it has all been through what? Prayer. So prayer has been the key. We see that John Wesley, his quote, he says, what God does nothing through prayer. So for this next dispensation, and even for the fire of God, and people are waiting for the awakening, it's going to be done through answer to prayer. So God is wanting us to pray. Another great quote, don't initiate more than you can saturate with prayer. So as we initiate, what is going to happen in our lives? Maybe there's something that God is saying that you want to happen, and you've been asking God for it. He's saying pray about it. Let's start praying about it. Let's put some fire on it, some fervent prayer, and see what God does. Saturate it with prayer. saturate it with the fire, the gasoline of God. You know, put some gas on it, put some fire on it, and watch it come ablaze. God is just waiting on you. And here's another favorite quote that we've heard about prayer. If we are too busy to pray, we are what? Too busy. And you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more pray until you have prayed. So that's meaning past tense. You know, we have prayed, and now we're waiting for the manifestation. So we're going to focus on today about the vital part of prayer, the power of the potential of corporate prayer, bonded prayer, collective prayer, social prayer, assembly of power. There is the quote that I quoted earlier by Dr. J. Edwin Orr. Corporate prayer is what? It's the key to revival. Every great revival, corporately, the people have come together to pray. So this is what he says. Corporate prayer is the key to revival. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any locality that did not begin in united prayer. So that's the key. You want to know the key that's going to get this moving throughout our nation, where this revival is going to get this awakening? It's going to be the corporate prayer. So we're going to have to continue to pray. Dr. Jack Taylor, this is what he says here about Noah. He said, Noah's ultimate effectiveness will ever rise to stay above its corporate prayer life. So corporately, let's look. How are we doing corporately? Are you spending more time individually? But there's power in prayer. There's power in unity. There's power in agreement. Now, here's another quote by a Scandinavian evangelist named Armin, and he said, the measure in which members fail to assemble to pray fails out, get it here, the measure of the leakage and the loss of its the leakage. So when you think about it, if it's leaking, that leakage, there can be a loss of power. In an assembly, the church is to be a powerhouse. And guess what? Prayer is the generator. So I just want to see you motivated and encouraged just to look at your assessment, look at and assess your surroundings. You know, what is God doing in your corporate prayer life? What is God doing in your assembly? Even corporately as a family, we heard that we may say it's cliche, a family that prays together stays together. Maybe you need to corporately come together for what's going on in your house that you want to see God change. Or corporately come together. Maybe it's a financial issue. We're going to put some gas on it, put some fire on it, and just see God just expand it, that you can be able to give to others, to be able to corporately be a blessing in your family, in your ministry, your business. So that's the key that's going to unlock the door. You may have been asking the question, well, why, Lord? He's saying, you have to be able, he does nothing except an answer to prayer. So God is waiting on us to pray. He's waiting on us to commission those hornets of angels that have been waiting on you to say, all right, you know, what's my job today? Where do I go? What do I do now? So it goes on, and this bears repeating, the measure in which members fail to assemble to pray, family members, church members, let's put that in there. Even your business, employees, the leakage and the loss of its power in assembly of the church is to be a powerhouse, and prayer is the generator. So any church program, no matter how impressive, if it's not supported by an adequate amount of prayer, it's going through the motions and it's not going to work. It's little more than just I like the way he said this ecclesiastical treadmill. You ever been on a treadmill? You know, we like walking in our surroundings. We do a lot of prayer walks all over the world. But when you're on a treadmill, you don't really get anywhere. You're moving, but there's no progress. You're kind of in the same place. When you come back physically, you may be getting in shape and flexing those muscles, but we're talking about in the spiritual realm. God, he's wanting to take us to a greater and higher height in him, that we can be able to go higher and higher and higher in what God has ordained and planned for us to do. So let us look over here at Acts. And I love the scripture here in Acts 1 and 8. And I don't think we preach on it enough, but you know, that the Lord says, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to send the power of God upon our lives. And sometimes we just need to pray. Sometimes we just need to wait on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us. The Holy Spirit is going to direct us. So we're going to just keep your place in Acts 2, because we're going to spend time today. Our scriptures are coming from the book of Acts. So let's just read Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So as we're praying there and we're listening to God and the Holy Spirit through prayer, we're going to have to pray, because if we don't pray, it's doing little or nothing to Satan's kingdom. Now, if we look at Acts 2, let's 1 through 4, if you want to go and get your Bible, or you can just listen. But it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. We're talking about together, one accord, right? And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Now remember, we talked about the fire that was in Indonesia. Once that fireball came down and they were ringing the bell, and it set the church on fire, but that wind that helped to be able to initiate it. So we need to put some Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit, the super on our natural, to see the fire of God in our lives. How many of you have been baptized with the fire of God? It's powerful. I know in our meetings sometimes we're just praying and praying the word, speaking the word, prophesying the word, and people are baptized in the fire of God right there in their seats, as well as in the altar, because the fire of God comes through the word of God. It comes through igniting, initiating the fire of the Holy Spirit and decree and declaring what the heavens say and the open heavens. That's right. And people begin to feel the Holy Spirit as we corporately come together. So God is just waiting on us. And it bears repeating, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind, it says in the NIV, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. This isn't a cessation theology. This is for today as well. God is just warning you. How simple is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. It's not complicated. You just be an instrument. You be a vessel. And the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and prayer. Praying the Word. And you will see the fire of God. Mm-hmm. And you'll feel it too. God's just waiting on you to believe. He's just waiting on you to put aside. So let us come together corporately. But it says, a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. Now listen to this. On each of them. Now remember, they were one accord. They saw a violent wind come through. God wants you to see that. I've been crying out to God, and the wind of God has shaken my bed. The Holy Spirit, the fire of God. I've been baptized in the fire of God. And I'm sure you have too, but God wants, and if you haven't, God wants you to feel. He wants you to feel the ultimate, putting you aside and letting God feel you, your vessel. And they separated, and the fire separated of the fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. And it's through prayer. It's through the Holy Spirit. It's just waiting. There's an open heaven that God, he just wants to portal through into our homes, into our lives, the Holy Spirit within us. And we just pray, even those of you listening, God can, he can baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And let's move down to, let's go back to Acts 1. Now, we just read 1 and 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up on you. But there's one of my favorite verses. They all join together. So it's togetherness. What the devil wants to do is divide and conquer. As we've been going all over the world, God has shown me that there's so much disunity in the body of Christ. That's all he has, the devil, is to bring disunity, to try to sever, to cut off the blessing, to divide, to conquer. Because he knows when we come together, there's power in agreement. Yeah. And when they got together on one accord, it wasn't 10 people, 10 ideas, 10 different, it was one accord, one. That's what God, he wants us to be, one. That's right. When they were on one accord. I had a dream. We've been out of the country, came back in the fall, and been gone for 21 months, 14 nations. But when we went to Japan, we got a hotel. I got a hotel for 7 days, and I was like, Lord, We're just going to shut in to get direction. Where do we go from here? You know, what do you want us to do now? And as I was praying, I went to sleep and woke up the next morning. I had a dream, and I saw a whitewashed board where the whole wall was white. And then on this side, I saw an angelic being with a needle and thread sewing together squares. And I believe that person, it represented the Lord or an angelic being. And he was saying, I want the body to come together. So those of you who have been following us on Facebook or Twitter, you may have seen the blank, the quilt. But I've taken squares and have sewn them together with pastors and leaders, because when we're on one accord, and the quilt now is 15 feet long, but we all have our differences. But when we come together like a quilt or a tapestry or a monarch or a mosaic, then we all have our individual beauty. But when we're together, see, God wants us to be on one accord. In verse 14, it says, Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. See, they were praying. They weren't talking about what this pastor did over here. Did you hear about Bishop so-and-so over here? Or did you hear about Elder so-and-so? Or, well, I think it needs to be done like this. It's either my way or the highway. I'm the witness of the Moses in. I don't have time for anybody else. No, they came together. Now, you pray like I say pray, and that's coming to our into the body. I had another dream recently where the foot and the hand was cut off by other leaders and ministers. We're not cutting people's hands off. The hand heals. We lay hands on one another. We prophesy and point the way. The prophetic, the apostolic, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. We are the fivefold ministry, but we're shutting and cutting one another. And then the foot. And I'll go into detail maybe about that dream at another time. But we want to stay focused here on the togetherness that we're speaking of here. They all join together constantly in prayer along with the women. Wow, the women were there. After that, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So let's come together. God is wanting us to join together for this great awakening. Now, we're going to go back to Acts 2. Turn your Bibles, if you want, or your electronic, and let's look at verse 42. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and thanks so much for listening to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. We really appreciate it. Today, we are talking about how to set our church on fire. It's about togetherness, letting the wind of the Holy Spirit, the wind, your spark. Now, as I stay in the flame, together through prayer. Now, let's look at 42, Acts 2 and 42. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Wow, There's that word prayer again. Communing with God. Let's get together. Let's pray. The enemy wants to make it seem like all prayer is just a drudgery. Oh, prayer is so hard. No, prayer is a great opportunity. And as the Brazilians would, oportunidad, it's an opportunity to be able to pray, and to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God in the churches. They're waiting on it. People want to know, why do you see the fire of God in the churches? Because we cry out, Holy Spirit, send your fire. Holy Spirit, have your way. We call upon you. We pray together on one accord. Open heavens over the people. Corporately, we come together. And the Holy Spirit comes in like a mighty rushing wind and fills the place. That simple. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit working through us. And today we decree and declare as we close, let the fire of the Holy Spirit fall upon your life. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit ignite corporately in your businesses, in your homes, in your churches, and let the Holy Spirit have His way. Until next week, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in. For Lifetime, for a lifetime. And please come back and listen to us live by radio. Share this post, and may your lives forever be changed. And next week, we will continue on how to set the fire in your ministry, out your life. I will discuss some of the modern examples, how corporate prayer works. We'll talk about Charles Stanley and some of the other great people that God has used in some of the formulas, which is the Holy Spirit. But their particular views on how God moves. And we will give the actual conclusion. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime. We have a prayer request. Call our office at 918-288-0400. 918-288-0400. We'll be glad to pray with you. And also go to our website. We'd love for you to come on our prayer line on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And the website is lifeenrichmentinc.com. That's lifeenrichmentinc.com. And follow us on Twitter, Dr. Gwyneth, D-R-D-W-Y-N-E-T-H, as well as on Facebook. God bless. Bye-bye.